So this morning, my exhortation is going to be based on Psalm 144 in verses 1 and 2. And those say, Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight, my goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. So this is a Psalm of David when he is thanking God for what he had done for David and the mercy that is shown by God so often. So first we're going to break these two verses up into different sections. And the first one is going to be when David calls God his strength. David here is saying that the reason he is strong, the reason he could do everything that he could do is because of God. He knew that God had the strength to do anything. For example, in Exodus 13, in verse 3 it says, And Moses said unto the people, Remember this day in which ye came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of hand the Lord brought you out from this place, there shall no leavened bread be eaten. So Moses is reminding the people that God is the one who had the strength to bring them out of the land of Egypt. And David would have also known the encouraging message that God had given to Joshua, reading from Joshua 1, verses 5 through 8. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto you, unto their fathers, to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For when thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. He would have taken heart from this. He would have known that God would be with him and provide him strength like Joshua, if he followed God's will and regularly sought advice from his word. David knew that his strength came from God, and we know that our strength also comes from God. We are told by Christ what we are supposed to do with that strength. So reading from Mark chapter 12, Mark 12 verses 29 and 30. And Jesus answered him, The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. God gives us our strength, and we are to use that strength to love him, and follow his will, and read his word. The word strength in Psalm 144 can also be translated as rock. This brings to mind the idea of a foundation, specifically a strong foundation, reading from Luke 6, verses 47-49. Whosoever cometh to me, and heareth my sayings, and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house, and digged deep, and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house, and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. David would have been the man who built his house on the foundation of rock, on the rock. Just like our foundations need to be built on God and his word, so that when the floods come, we aren't swept away, and in case everything falls apart, we will always have a place to rebuild in God and in Christ. The second part of Psalm 144 is when David says that God teaches his hands to war and his fingers to fight. David had to fight in actual battles and wars, like when he fought against Goliath with just a sling, or countless other times he had to fight against the Gentile nations. And David is acknowledging here that the only reason he knows how to fight and how to win a fight is because God teaches him how and is with him. Like in 1 Samuel 17, verses 45 through 47. Then said David to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Here, like in Psalms 144, he is saying that the only reason he will win is because of God. We might find ourselves thinking that unlike David, we don't have actual wars or battle to fight, but we do. It's just a different kind of war or battle. But also, it was a battle that David had to fight every day as well. This war that David fought and we fight every day is the war against sin and the flesh. It's a reading from 1 Timothy 6, verses 10 through 12. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Here we are told to flee the things of evil, and to seek after the things that are good and godly, so that we can fight the good fight of faith and lay hold upon eternal life. Like God teaching David how to fight, we are also taught lessons and are given tools to help us in our fight against sin. For example, we are given the armor of God in Ephesians 6, verses 13 through 18. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Who are given some of the tools needed to fight the good fight? We are told to use truth, righteousness, the gospel of peace, faith, the word of God, and prayer. Another tool we are given in our fight is all the teachings of Christ. For example, Matthew 5, verses 1 through 12. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. He is telling us how we should behave in the world, so that we may rejoice and have a reward in heaven. But just because we are given these tools and these lessons, does not mean that we will not fail. Even David, a man after God's own heart, could not stop himself from failing. Reading from 2 Samuel 12, verses 9 through 16. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now, therefore, the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes, and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of the sun. For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel, and before the sun. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, The Lord also hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. And Nathan departed unto his house, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick. And David therefore besought God for the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. David here sinned and was punished accordingly, but when he realized how wrong that he had been, he repented, and that God forgave him for this sin. So when we also lose our fight with sin, we need to repent and pray always, so that our sins may be forgiven and we can continue in the struggle against sin. And then next we're going to look at when David calls God, My goodness. The word goodness here can be translated as mercy. David is saying that God has shown him mercy time and again, like when God forgave him for his sin, or all the times that God has allowed him to survive. David is stating here something that we think of as obvious and might even take for granted, that God is merciful. This is one of the characteristics of God that are given in Exodus 34, 5 through 7. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, and upon the children's children, unto the third and to the fourth generation. From these verses, we see that God is a merciful and forgiving being. The Bible is filled with the examples of God being merciful and showing mercy. There's Genesis 39, verses 20 through 23. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph, and showed him mercy, and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made to prosper. Here God was merciful towards Joseph, and because God did this and was with him, Joseph prospered in the prison. And then there is Daniel 6, also verses 20 through 23. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel, and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me, forasmuch as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. God showed mercy on Daniel, and delivered him from the mouths of the lion. Because God showed Daniel this mercy, the king began to believe in Daniel's God. But the most important example of God's mercy is Christ himself. God allowed Christ to go through so many things like persecutions, beatings, and being crucified so that Christ could be raised at his right hand, and so that he could show mercy on all of us, because through Christ we have all the chance to be saved. John 3, verse 16, For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now continuing in Psalm 144, We're going to look at when David calls God my fortress, my high tower, and my deliverer, my shield. These are all things that have to do with protection. So David is saying that he has protection and safety because God is with him, which reemphasizes that God is a strong foundation who gives us the tools to fight sin, but is also merciful when we fail in the fight. And the next we're going to look at when David says, in he whom I trust. David put his trust in God every day. Every time he went into battle, such as when he fought Goliath, he put his trust in God. When he was on the run from Saul, he put his trust in God. While he was ruling his kingdom, he trusted in God to help him make the right decisions for the people of Israel. Trusting in God is one of the most important things that we can do. And there are again so many examples of people trusting in God. There is Noah building the ark so that he could save his family. Abram leaving his home and eventually becoming Abraham and receiving his covenant from God. There is the example of Ruth in Ruth chapter 2. Ruth 2 verses 11 and 12. And Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and the how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knowest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Ruth left everything she had to go with her mother-in-law, and even though she was from the outside, she trusted in God and was rewarded for her trust. And again, the best example for putting trust in God is Christ. Reading from Luke 22, Luke 22 verses 41 through 44. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Christ was scared of dying like any of us would be. He was in agony about what was to come. But he trusted in his Father so much that he still went through with it. And because Christ trusted in God so much, we have a chance for salvation. We also know that Christ says in Mark 10 verses 23 and 24, and Jesus looked round about and saith unto his disciples, how hardly shall they have riches that have riches enter in the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answereth again, and saith unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? We are told here what happens if we put our trust in something like riches. When we do not put our trust in God, it becomes so much harder for us to be saved and enter into the kingdom of God. Which is why, like Christ, like Ruth, and like David, we need to not put our trust in the things of the world, but place all of our trust in our Heavenly Father. And then finally, the last part we're going to look at is the very first thing that's said in Psalm 144, which is, blessed be the Lord. David starts off before he says anything else, thanking God, and then proceeds to say what he is thanking God for. He is thanking God for everything he had been given. This brings to mind something we talked about in CYC a while back, which is in Daniel 2. Daniel 2 and verse 19. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Here a secret was revealed to Daniel, and then Daniel blessed God. He did not wait until after he had told the king. He didn't wait for anything. Daniel immediately thanked God for what he had done for him. This is how we should be thanking God when something good happens in our lives. There are so many other examples of thanking God that happen as well, like when Noah came out of the ark in Genesis 8. Genesis 8, verses 20 through 22. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast, and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Even in the law, the people are told to have feasts so that they can remember what God had done for them, so that they could thank Him. And so we should be thanking God for all the things that He has given us in our lives. So in conclusion, let us take our example from David in Psalms 144, verses 1 and 2. We need to let God be our strength, our rock, our strong foundation that we build everything else on. We need to follow the lessons and use the tools given to us by God to fight against sin in the flesh. We need to remember that God will have mercy on us if we follow His will and do His works. We need to remember to trust in God with all things. And above all, we need to thank God for everything that He has given us, especially His Son's life and death, which we are here now to remember, so that we might have salvation. So, finally, I'll close by reading verse 15 of Psalm 144. Happy is that people that in such a case, yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord.